Over 270,000 student athletes across the country now use a derivative of the platform that we initially piloted and built for the NJCAA.
10 plus, you know, follow-on projects that have spawned out of this already, at least.
And that's the way to grow your business. How to work with them.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the very first episode of the brand new podcast called How They Did It. In this podcast, I want to try something a little unique, a little different, hopefully something that you enjoy. But what I've done is I've gathered partners that have a very awesome customer-related or project-related story to tell. That could be a sale. It could be a retention story. It could be a how they navigated some new relationship to get their first shared customer, but it's a partnership driven story between tech and agency, agency to agency. We'll have tech and tech integration and strategic partner stories as well. But the main difference here is I'm going to record with them. Then I'm going to bring Chris Dubois, one of the team members here at Partner Hub, to the table because he's run, consulted on agencies for his entire career almost, and has a lot of insight into, okay, well, what he would have done differently, what we would have done if we were on one side of the table versus the other, our thoughts on the scenario, some things that we point out during the episode that we think you should really pay attention to, key takeaways from our perspective that'll hopefully get you and your team's wheels turning with relation to the scenario, the situation, the story. So this first one is with Formstack and Carabiner Group. In this episode, what I want to uncover with this relationship is a large organizational change project, right? We as solutions providers can get these projects onto our doorstep, and they seem like they could be extremely agency future changing for us. And there's a lot at stake, a lot of resources, a lot of time, and a lot of potential downside, but there's a huge potential upside. In this story, Formstack, Zach Pines, the head of head of partnerships at Formstack, talks about how they created something really special, special as in revenue for both sides, strengthening the partnership, and making something very worthwhile. Took them a lot of time and energy and resources getting involved in this organizational change project for one of their shared customers. We talk about how it came to the table. We talk about some of the learnings from both sides, what they would have done differently, what they thought made it successful, which is important. And then throughout the episode, Chris and I will jump in and reiterate some things, talk about our experience with the same scenario, and give you some really interesting nuggets, hopefully, to take back to your teams and learn from how to replicate this scenario with you and your partners. I hope you enjoy, but first, as usual, we have sponsors we got to talk about. So take a minute, listen to our sponsor plugs, and then we'll get into the episode. Thanks again to our amazing sponsors. Reveal has been a sponsor of this podcast since the very beginning. They've been wonderful. Reveal is your nearbound companion. Reveal allows you to not only map accounts, but get direct insight into sales motions, what's going on with your partners, who is dealing with what customers at what time. Nearbound, you may have heard of, you may have been to the conference, you may have met with companies inside of Reveal. It is the idea that you are going to work together to get into accounts, to get bigger deals, to get stickier users, to get stickier clients, and grow faster together. That is the concept of Nearbound. Other terms for it, you may have heard co-selling, ecosystem-led, partner-led, account mapping is the essence of it. Who do I have that you also have? Who do we not have that the other person has and the other company has? And who knows who at what organizations to help us get closer to those companies? That is the essence of Nearbound. That is what we will use Nearbound to achieve. Top companies like you see here in the directory are all using Reveal to get closer and closer to the deals in play and to get more out of their partnerships. That is Reveal. Go to reveal.co and check it out. There is a free account so you can sign up today. Our next sponsor is partnerhub.app. It is the platform where you can find, align, and manage the partnerships that you are working closely with, those third-party B2B organizations. Who inside the organization are you doing what with right now? Who would you like to partner with? And what would you like to do with those entities? That is what PartnerHub is all about. The main differentiator between PartnerHub and your typical PRMs is that PartnerHub is built first and foremost as a marketplace and as a tool for solutions providers so that they can take the reins, so that they can control and operate their own partnerships with third-party entities like their tech partners, like other agencies. And when the agencies, when the solutions providers are in the driving seat of the partnership, you'll find that activation, enablement, all of those great keywords, all of those great OKRs that your program needs to succeed will all be lifted. So again, PartnerHub is a great place if you're looking for agencies in Shopify, Salesforce, HubSpot ecosystems. Top agencies like the number one HubSpot agency on the planet, Avidly, are in PartnerHub. Top Shopify agencies like The Stable are in PartnerHub. These are the great users that PartnerHub is thankful and proud to have. And the benefit that these users are getting out of PartnerHub is, again, making sure that they know exactly what partners that they are doing what with right now. There are tools like a syndication process for live offers to recruit more partners, directory products so you can showcase your partners on a subdomain of your choice and draw leads for your partners, actively bring your partner's business using a gorgeous mobile-friendly partner directory, and tons of partner management features as well. Everything you need in one place, that is what PartnerHub is all about. Run your program effectively. All right, that is all, and we'll see you guys in the episode. All right, Zach, so start us off. What was going on? What is the story? What is the premise? Why are we talking about it today?
Yeah, so the National Junior College Athletic Association was engaged in a sales process with Formstack, and National Junior College Athletic Association, NJCAA, a governing body of over 500 member schools in 42 states. Formstack, as a no-code form builder, you know, a Formstack project could be anything from, you know, a few hours to a few days, but it became clear to us that this was a much bigger initiative. And Seamus will explain a little bit why that's the case, but this was a true digital transformation initiative. This customer needed the expertise of a Formstack partner. And that's where, you know, credit to our sales rep for identifying that, you know, and bringing in Seamus and his team from Carabiner Group. I'll let Seamus pick up the story a bit from there, and then I'll kind of jump in for more context.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things about digital transformation, right? Like, what does that actually mean? You know, the buzzwords are being flown around a little bit here, right? And for the NJCAA, it meant a complete and total overhaul of a legacy system that existed for 15 to 20 years prior, right? You know, something that they were very comfortable with, their members were very comfortable with, and frankly had a false start problem, right? Of how do we do this in a way that, you know, enables our members to, you know, enter into the digital, you know, the digital age, but also be comfortable with this technology and do it on a timeline that is about half of what normally we would attempt to accomplish something, you know, like this scale, and you know, have a successful outcome. So when Formstack introduced us into the equation, there were quite a few of different, you know, factors at play, budget and timeline, and, you know, we don't really know what we need and all of that. And, you know, it'd be curious, you know, from my perspective, Zach, like, you know, what you thought the biggest risk was for Formstack in this, You know, when we think about like the role of a partner, you know, as in a good co-sell motion, but also in a good customer success motion, right? Like there's, I think, an interesting dichotomy there. What do you think kind of was short of just, hey, we need somebody to get this done? Like what?
I mean, and you know, this has become a phenomenal customer and advocate for Formstack. Jeff White, who's our sponsor from the NJCAA, Sam Lauder, who's the day-to-day power user. But Seamus, I would say there are a lot of stakes. This was a high stakes situation for Jeff. He had been through a project where, as he describes it, number one, you know, the members of the NJCAA were incredibly unhappy. Number two, because their process was not working, it was putting great burden on a relatively small team at their central organization. I mean, the way Jeff describes it, it was all hands on deck every day just to shepherd a process. And again, we're going to explain just how amazing the automation now is for them. But the stakes were high, Seamus. It was clear, again, from our standpoint, a trusted advisor was needed, not only to kind of steer the customer through the process, but to help implement it correctly, efficiently, confidently, and remove that risk.
I do think it's really interesting because when we think about what kind of the confluence of everything that had to come together for this thing to get pulled off, right? It is a really fascinating application of technology partners working together with, you know, SIs to kind of get to the outcome, you know, and frankly, a really open and understanding client as well to get to an outcome that makes everybody, you know, happy, right? So often we hear about these stories of, you know, strife amongst partners and who does what and how and, you know, where are we going to get to? And this was, I think, you know, we'd obviously been working together for quite some time. There was a degree of trust that we'd been able to build up for successful engagements. But there's a lot of different technology parts that worked together with this project, right? So a little bit of context for the listeners, right? Like we're using Salesforce Nonprofit Success Pack, Salesforce Experience Cloud, all three of the Formstack products, Formstack Documents, Formstack Sign, and Formstack Forms for Salesforce. And more than any of that, we had to make it so that it was useful for all of the end users in a way that very low technical literacy folks across the country could use this thing and be satisfied with the user experience. That's a tough ask, particularly when, you know, it's a highly niche industry that, you know, I certainly wasn't a collegiate athlete. And Zach, I don't think you were either. So like we were a little bit out of our
intramurals, but
yeah.
lots at stake.
Yeah. I think for us, partner enablement is and has been a huge focus. So, you know, ensuring that Seamus and his team are true product experts and able to confidently solution for a customer of this magnitude. So I think we're all proud of that and how our teams work together. And, you know, to give some behind the scenes there, Alex, like we've got a shared Slack channel where, you know, our teams may be engaging on a day-to-day basis. Carabiner does work for, you know, many, many Formstack customers across a variety of industries. Also, I think we're in the conversation long enough where there's a few things about what was achieved that I just want to, you know, shout out. You know, what was actually set up? It was set up so that probably the most significant part of the process here is the scholarship offer and signature process for every single NJCAA member university now runs through Formstack with a process designed and executed by Seamus. That's over 170,000 scholarship letters per year that are customized, personalized, and then facilitated with the right business logic. Because in some cases, these can be minors. In other cases, they're not. You know, does the parent need to sign? Facilitating that through the student scholar athletes and athletic directors, you know, are relatively non-technical end users, enabling things like routing documents for signature through text message, even in many, many of these cases. And also something I think we're both proud of, because we've also reflected, like, this is such a pivotal moment in the lives of these students where they're like, you know, experiencing that and having that all run through Formstack at that moment has also been like pretty fulfilling to hear some of those stories back from the NJCAA and their members.
All right. So we just heard from Zach and Seamus about the premise of the situation. Big digital transformation, lots at stake, kind of like walking out on a plank to where if you mess it up with this client, this project, you are going to lose a lot of confidence in yourself as an agency. Can we do that big of a project? You'll obviously lose the money and the contract and potentially reputation at stake. But if you succeed, money, of course, that's first and foremost, but confidence in the team and what you learned during that big digital transformation. So this is more of a story about big projects and how they affect the agency. We're going to learn pretty soon what happened. But Chris, at this stage, you've been an agency, you get a big project in the pipeline, and it's going to take a lot of resources. What are some of the thoughts that go through your mind during this stage?
Yeah, so this is something I've coached quite a few people on, where it's getting that mentality of like mission first, right? A lot of agencies will shoot themselves in the foot because they just want to try doing it all themselves. And this can go across for like any company, right? If you're offered money and you have a problem, you're going to try to solve it. But oftentimes the solution isn't you doing the work. It's finding the right person to come in and do it for you. And that's where partnerships become so valuable. It's knowing who you can actually reach out to within your network to come in. What I liked here was Seamus asking what risks were you thinking about? And Zach brought up that, you know, probably the biggest risk is that there was a lot at stake to not solve the problem. And so the risk wasn't necessarily bringing in a partner. The risk was them doing it themselves. And they're, in order to mitigate that, they were bringing in a partnership to be able to, you know, actually make this happen. And it, as I'm sure we'll see, you know, it does work out. And so
I love it. I'm going to go back to the recording. Let's dig in a little deeper.
The combination of, you know, expert solutioning, customer centricity, expertise around Formstack, expertise around the specific industry that we're talking about here of, you know, NJCAA is kind of a hybrid of, you know, they operate similar to a nonprofit as a governing body, but then the members are our schools, our universities. So it took expertise in those areas. And ultimately, again, someone, yeah, that we knew and had complete trust and confidence can deliver as has been proven.
Okay. So now we're getting into the results and what was the real crutch or what was the foundation of the relationship to make sure that this was a success. So now that we know it was a success, some of these podcasts, by the way, I'm hoping to get one where we dive deep into a big failure. I think that would be very good to learn. But this was a success. So Chris, what are your thoughts on the scope of the project, the trust necessity and the density of the relationship with Formstack that had to be there for it to be a potential success, for Formstack to even remember Carabiner, which we dig into later in the episode of how they actually thought to bring in Carabiner Group as opposed to any other partner? That's important too. But let's talk about trust. Let's talk about the relationship with your partner that needs to be there, both sides, you know, when a referral happens.
Yeah. So when you're looking to partner with anyone, right, you're essentially betting your reputation on their performance. And so that's super scary for any company to be doing, because if things go wrong, you're going to be the one that's still held responsible, but you might not actually have had any, you know, influence over the actual work being done. So you got to verify the competency of whoever you're working with, and you can bet a lot on, if you're in the right partnership networks, right, then you can kind of lean on others to see how those relationships have been going, the actual person's or company's level of competency. But what I really liked here about Formstack was that they were buying into like partner enablement. So like, let's make sure that they have everything that they need to be successful. We're not just saying, hey, it's yours, run with it, right? It's an actual partnership. We're going to work on this together to make sure that we're doing everything from our side so that you have, you know, the right pieces in order to make this happen.
My thoughts exactly. I mean, it's a situation where lots at stake for Formstack. Zach knew the scope of this project before even reaching out to Carabiner Group. It wasn't just a random sales referral that came through, I think. And I think we talk about it. So not I think, but we talk about it here and how the actual the thought of Carabiner came into the scope of the project or came into the referral aspect of the project. But yeah, I think the stress here for any partners listening is the density of the relationship needs to be there for you to even be in the conversation. How do you create that density, showing that you are the expert in the tech stack, and niching down, I think, is important here. One thing that did pop into the minds of the Formstack, the two individuals in Formstack, Zach and the salesperson, when this lead came through was the industry and the use case and Carabiner Group as the experts in both the industry and the use case, right? So niching down, let's just mention that real quick. How does niching down affect the potential for more referrals from a partner?
Yeah, I think a lot of agencies specifically they think they're niched, but you're not. You have a massive industry, right? Saying B2B is your niche is ridiculous. You need to get way more focused on that. And the easiest way to do it is to focus around a specific problem, right? If you know the problem that your target audience is facing and you can just be well known for solving that problem, now you can start to expand into other industries because you can solve that problem that could relate to other areas. And so being known for having that solution, right, rather than being able to provide all these different services, but actually being able to solve a specific problem, that's where you're going to be start getting your name dropped in a lot of these partnership conversations. Hey, who should we bring in? Right. You're going to be top of mind.
My thoughts exactly. I'd even add to that. If you're a solutions provider, the tip to you is not only niche down, but have a presence on your website that tells the CS and sales team that you have a niche service in that specific vertical. It could be HubSpot implementation for manufacturing companies, and it's a scope of about this, price range is this, and make sure the CS and the sales team at your partner companies know that that page exists. Send them the documentation, send them the link, send them what you need to send them. And on the flip side, if you're a tech company, bucketing and segmenting your partners, your solutions partners specifically, by what niche services they sell. So have some level of documentation. It could be if you're using Partner Hub, selfish plug, could have a memorandum on their profile that says what their niche is. So just niche as the title of the memorandum and list their niches or their niche. Or it could be a sheet, an Airtable, a Notion document, anything that just says, here are our partners. Here's what each of those partners are really good at. And have your CS and sales team know where that document is, know where that information is, and refer to that when customers have issues on calls. All right, we're going to dig.
Two things. One thing, I'll raise Zach up here a little bit. Zach can know and does know everything there is possible to know about all his agency partners. He's a superhuman machine over there. But in the standard fashion of you know, how partnerships really operates, right? Like what makes Formstack and Carabiner Group's sort of story so unique? There's a great little podcast we did a while ago about, like, you know, the tagline was Seamus runs on Formstack or whatever. And the reality is that, like, before I had an LLC, I had a Formstack relationship. It starts from the very, very core of who Carabiner is and how we got started and who we've continued to be along the way. And, you know, I was having some conversations with partner folks, you know, yesterday at a conference, and we're talking about, like, how early is too early for a partner motion? How early is too early to really invest and, you know, build those relationships? And for us, it was, I mean, you couldn't have started any earlier, right? And the fact is that that tenure of relationship and the depth of that relationship and the trust developed within it on both sides, right? Like, legitimately, you know, it's one thing for a partner, like an agency partner, to be dependable and, like, hey, you're going to get your stuff done and the client will be happy and everything. But it's another thing altogether to have escalation points with an ISV as an SI, like, to be able to say, like, texting the COO or CEO or Zach saying, like, hey, I've got this thing that I really need help with. and knowing there's a relationship there to back it up that, you know, will help resolve that for my clients as much as for Formstack's clients. We've been able to, you know, relay tens of customers over the years to probably not, we're not really not at hundreds, but certainly tens of customers over to Formstack. And we can solidly say with confidence that they are a trusted partner of ours who we believe is worth the investment in technology, but also in people and time and productivity as well. And I think that's something that so many folks are focused on, you know, how do I sign up so many partners and build this network? And like, for us, it's all about having a few really good trusted ones that we dive into. We fully invest both ways, from, you know, speaking at SKOs to, you know, doing the late night 2 a.m. phone calls when we have a, you know, a really high priority need, on either side of the house. So I think for me, it's much like any, you know, relationship, it's investment, right? Like, you're going to get in what you give, you're going to get out what you give. And, you know, in this case, I think we've both, given a lot to each other from that perspective.
All right. So we just heard from Seamus. One thing that I want to stop and get Chris's thoughts on is when a new partner comes to you, there's lots that has to be done before you're ready for a project like this, or even just a project period. Called a partner motion is like, okay, well, Formstack comes to you. They want you to learn the product. They want you to refer your customers, of course. But before an actual partner motion, meaning partner enablement is a part of it, partner assets, partner sales comes to the table, partner support comes to the table, the trust has to be there, communication channels, operations have to be in place. I think what we could do is help them out with maybe just the mentality of it from the agency side. And then if you have any sort of typical timeframes, I know it's probably impossible, but, you know, typically what does it take maybe before that?
Yeah, there's a lot of variables to that one. And it's going to come down to how, I don't mean this in a demeaning way, but how simple the software, right, that you have to work with and be able to implement it with is. If someone was coming to me, like a HubSpot level client, right, where there's so much that we can be doing with this platform. I mean, this is one of the reasons why HubSpot has a whole accrediting solution to kind of know that you know what you're doing. And so they're going to refer these people to you if you're actually a good fit, and they can base the relationship on that. But for companies that are smaller and don't necessarily have that level of depth required for it, I mean, it could be as simple as getting in a conversation, talking about the problem, making sure you guys see the problem the same way, and then just kind of making sure you can jive that way.
I think the important things for partner teams to understand is, and I'll maybe use an anecdote that Chris and I were involved in recently. So we have a technology that we're thinking about switching to run these office hours for Chris. It's a video conferencing platform. The partner wants us to obviously implement this system of using their software for all of our client calls and all of our partner calls, because it shows their branding, and, you know, it's obvious that it's this new type of technology and they want questions to be asked to us. And then we make the referral, and we do have partnerships with certain platforms. We use AirMeet for our events, and we use Journey, and we use Typeform for different things. And yes, we strike up relationships, and then there is a motion there that becomes, okay, well, what is that first thing you do that will then snowball into that customer facing thing that then creates the need for the entire team to become experts in that thing before a real partner motion comes into the conversation? Which, and I say, especially with agency relationships, you have to rely on the agency's not even willingness or ability, but just inert sort of reaction to a new software of tinkering, right? All agency founders, operators, we're all tinker. We like to tinker with new software. It's kind of like a fun thing, or at least I do. I don't know if all, but I think most agencies, especially digital agencies, they're used to it. Like, I'm going to tinker with the software on Fridays or something, or over the weekend, right? And it's fun for us if the software has a good user experience. So the strategy for the tech partner with Carabiner Group, in this case, at one point in their relationship, maybe Formstack supplied Carabiner Group with some free software or free account, free license, with some level of seats so that Carabiner Group could use Formstack to create their contact us workflow or to create their new employee onboarding workflow. Maybe they did it for free or discount or whatever. Then Carabiner Group goes and tinkers for the next few weeks, agrees that it's a good system and implements it. Then customers and employees or whoever interacts with it and it becomes a part of their tech stack. Mm-hmm. That all needs to happen in most of the software, with the exception of like a Shopify app. In that case, if you're some level of agency is not going to be able to use us for anything, their customer could. The strategy would be try to get a free license to the agency to pass through to their customer, to gift to their customer so that they can be a part of that implementation and support so that they can learn it. Then the partner motion happens later. The partner motion being net new customer comes to the table. Both partners are involved in the sale and support of that net new customer. And that's prior to partner go to market, which is different. And we can talk about that later. But let's get back in and let's get some more gold for you guys. There's lots to talk about.
It truly is a special, unique relationship. But peeling it back, the way I view partnerships is, you know, give before you get. Make deposits. And frankly, like, we have a special love for like the up and coming or emerging SI who's basically like growing their business. And it's such a tremendous fit for us. So I met Seamus at a point where he was a budding entrepreneur, you know, and we were very clear, like, Formstack's here to help. Like, we'd love for you to learn our software and, you know, no promises, but we're happy to invest the time. So we did that with Seamus as he was just becoming like an independent practitioner. So the roots of Carabiner Group and Formstack, you know, go back that far. So that speaks to the trust. And therefore, Seamus has always been, had a strong presence across our team. Truly, I can't even say if I remember if I was the one who said, let's bring in Carabiner Group, or if I was just the one who had helped Seamus sort of get a great reputation amongst our sales team so that our sales team had the idea when they encountered, you know, the need for assistance. By the way, this is going back about 4 years. And since then we have, you know, much more formalized, you know, how we engage partners to support co-sell as well. So that's been a further byproduct for us as we've evolved the program.
I do think it's worthwhile to point out like the breadth of the relationship now across Formstack, right? It does not, as much as I enjoy, you know, interacting with Zach, it doesn't center within him and just his team, right? Well, 2 weeks ago, who is a guy who's now a good friend of mine, is the Formstack AE that we work with, came down on PTO to San Jose, where I'm based, and texts me the day before and says, hey man, you're around, we should grab a Sharks game, right? And we're gonna go out and have dinner with his, you know, high school buddy who's he's on a road trip with, and he thinks to text me to go out and hang out on his PTO, right? Like, you know, there's that. There's, you know, Carl, who, you know, is another great, you know, sales rep on the Formstack team, who like knows that he can depend on us when, you know, he has a, you know, even a small customer who isn't like necessarily, you know, a great deal of revenue, but he can trust us to come in and be consultative and help those folks out. You know, it's Rob, the COO, it's Chris, you know, the former CEO. I mean, it's all of these people who, you know, if you really want to get invested in an organization, right, you need to, in whether it's sales or partnerships, right, like go interstitial on the, you know, on the tissue networks, right? Like, how do you have a broad network of folks who you've built relationships with and trust with to really secure your position? So,
all right. So I thought that was gold. It was just exactly what we talked about, where Zach saw potential in Carabiner Group, and Seamus specifically and his partners early on. And it was a scenario where he knew, Zach knew, that he and Formstack had to show their investment, their willingness to put up time, resources, energy, even free stuff, in order for Seamus to say, oh, well, these guys are really working hard, I'm going to do the same. And then further enablement down the road, we heard Seamus talk about how the AE actually called him or texted him for a drink when the AE was in town. And it became more than just a affiliate sort of referral relationship. It's a true partnership. So your thoughts on that, any anecdotes from your agency side where they showed a true investment, which made you guys want to work with them?
Yeah, I mean, every relationship worth having, period, partnerships or your love life and your friendships, right? It comes out, someone's got to put forth some investment. You got to be able to give more than take right away to kind of show that. And so when you're getting into partnerships, it's the exact same thing. Not a ton of examples from my side. I mean, a lot of the relationships with HubSpot go deeper than just, hey, we got a lead for you. I've had HubSpot reps just chat and stuff, and we'd find connections for other pieces of life, which then has them thinking about us, you know, more prominently for when they do have a lead, because we just happen to have a chat on LinkedIn or something. And then I've been invited to like do presentations for other groups within the HubSpot ecosystem, just because my cam had that idea. And so we're through that, just kind of building up a stronger relationship where they were now putting us in front of other people. Which essentially was a good investment from their side, knowing, hey, these people can actually make me look good, but then let me just give them the opportunity to get in front of this audience, which had nothing to do with actual sales during that, but the investment in the relationship and kind of getting to work together more. Those little opportunities pop up a lot more frequently than you might at first notice.
Exactly. And I think one story comes to mind. Shout out to Richard at Six and Flow, a HubSpot elite. I think they're number two in the world right now, agency over in the UK. And his story with the HubSpot cam, channel account manager, I believe was the title at the time, came to him when he was maybe not came to him is the wrong word. I don't know the exact interaction, but they met at some conference, maybe inbound, something like that. And Richard impressed this cam so much, even though he was I think one or two, maybe a small under 10, definitely under 10 person shop, that cam invested tons of time training personal resources to Richard to develop them into what they are today. And that was before any HubSpot instances, any licenses were sold. They really saw the potential in this agency, invested in it, and the results are, you know, they've done so much business just through that agency. And if he would have just looked at Richard and said, you're too small, you're under 10 people, I don't really work with agencies under 10 people, call me when you're, you know, really doing some numbers, and then maybe I'll put my time in. No, he said, I'm going to invest, and it's going to become a true partnership, and we're going to grow together. That's all I'll say about that. All right, getting back.
This is a complete like win-win-win situation. Win for customer, win for Formstack, win for Carabiner Group, as you kind of break it all down, which is what it's all about. First of all, the NJCAA is, you know, thrilled with the results. They've taken a process that was broken and have made it fully automated. And ultimately, as a governing body, you know, they care about their members being happy. The feedback, the satisfaction is off the charts. Our champions have become heroes for their organization and for their members. In fact, you can find on the Formstack website, don't know if you have links, Alex, but you know, if you Google kind of Formstack NJCAA, it'll come up. I'll share a link here. Like it's a published customer story with, you know, a lot of customer advocates have come from this. From the Formstack and Carabiner Group side, yeah, it's become a great testimony, and it has led to lots of business from member organizations as individual schools, as well as other conferences through word of mouth. So it's been a huge success that has led to you know, lots and lots of follow-on engagements for Formstack and Carabiner Group, both within the, you know, within this very specific use case, and even more broadly across Salesforce. So Salesforce is another partner in this, and the Salesforce AE involved has brought us into other opportunities. There's a phrase that Formstack used to use, which we don't use it as much anymore, truly in our marketing, but we call it the ripple effect. There's been a big ripple effect here that you can trace back, you know, leading to 10 plus, you know, follow-on projects that have spawned out of this already, at least.
All right. So what I heard there is a very big aspect of this relationship is the potential for net new customers after the fact. So this project is going to yield this, but this is the learning project. We're going to have to put our heads down, learn a new tech stack, maybe not Formstack, but there's a new tech stack in the client. All clients have different aspects of their stack that you have to learn. The whole team is going to have to be a part of it because it's a bigger project. Time and resources are going to be huge. Potential upside is huge, but how do you ensure that what's on the other end is worth, the juice is worth the squeeze? One of the things that they mentioned is a case study that you can get your partner to promise and be specific about where they're going to put it, how much, you know, what's going to go out, you know, are your backlinks involved in that? Like they have Carabiner Group right here, but where else am I? Is my logo going to be on the page? I'd negotiate all this ahead of time. I mean, you're thankful for the referral and you don't want to show that you're not thankful for the referral. But at the end of the day, one of the agencies I work with said, a new partner go to market, a new partner motion cost them 10 grand. That's an average. Mm-hmm. And time spent with resources, co-marketing, asset development, lunch and learns, all that stuff costs money. So yes, they're bringing you a referral, but they're also bringing you a big potential risk. So they need to understand that. And you need to get the promises put in place before you accept it, so that the juice is worth the squeeze. But what are some of the things that you and your agency and agencies that you consult with talk about, delineate, how do you process whether you take on a new project and ensure the ROI mm-hmm. with a partner?
So, yeah. So a couple of things that would be going through my head. I'm looking at my operational load, right? To make sure that I can still maintain all the current projects I have, all the recurring revenue, and then we can still take on this project and be able to deliver, because our reputation is on the line for any project, but the partner's reputation is also there. So you got to make sure you're tracking that. Depending on the size of that project and knowing your operational load, you might actually have to deny projects in the future. And so as part of that, you need to ask yourself, is the juice worth the squeeze, right? Like, is taking on this project actually going to provide those long-term benefits versus taking on other potential projects, even if they're not necessarily guaranteed at this point. But when looking at the actual case study that you're going to get, I look at something called case study proximity, right? You want case studies that are within, again, solving that problem that you want to be known for solving. If you're doing this, just something completely off the shelf that you're not probably not going to do for a lot of clients, you don't necessarily want to be well known for doing solving this specific problem, then maybe you take that into account as you're taking it on. But if it's something that's going to give you a case study that you want to be known for, you want people to see how awesome you are at this specific thing, then that's going to, you know, hold a little more weight when you're looking at this. Yeah, I think that's probably it.
I love that. You know, some things that honestly, as partner managers on the tech side, you know, I'll say we, I'm not one of those, but I do run a tech company and, you know, I don't sit in the agency chair all day long. Thankfully, I get to talk to agencies all day. So I at least have that sort of perspective. But a lot of tech partner managers will often sit in a silo or at least have tunnel vision around what they know about the agency. And that's related to what the agency knows about their product, how many referrals they've sent. They look at a dashboard, they look at a CRM or a PRM. That's what they know about the agency. Oftentimes they don't really dig into the thought process of that partner going through the referral. And I think it's important to stress right now, it's like bringing someone a referral is analogous to handing them a baby, I guess, or I don't know, maybe come up with a better analogy, but it's essentially could go any way. It could go any direction. It could be a really great moment that turns into something beautiful, or it could be a disaster, right? I say introducing a better analogy is introducing the partner or your friend to some girl that you kind of know a little bit about, like your girlfriend's friend or something. Introducing, like, Chris, hey, I know you're single, meet Stacy. You'd look at that like, thanks, maybe?
Right.
It could be a day in my life I wish never happened. Or I could get married, yep, and we have a beautiful life together. That's what a referral is. The referral isn't anything until the project is done. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair to say?
Right.
No, I think, yeah, too many partner managers just hand their partners referrals and say, you're welcome that day. A referral is nothing until it's done, until it sees the full length of the relationship, right? So that's what I'd stress to the partner manager. Let's dig back in. There's lots more here, yeah, and then we'll get you some more insights.
That's what the only two additions that I'll add is that from an individual impact perspective, when we do the math, over 270,000 student athletes across the country now use a derivative of the platform that we initially piloted and built for the NJCAA. That's an enormous, enormous number, right? When you think about the impact of technology, many of these folks, right, are, you know, first generation college athletes. Many of them are, you know, folks of color. Like, this is their moment. And we're able to be a part of that in a very, very small way. But nevertheless, like from a meaning and impact perspective, that's been incredible. And it grew out of something that we had no idea what the legs of this would be, you know, at the time, right? It wasn't like we had identified that there was this large market and that all these chips were on the line. No, it was just, hey, this is a big client, important client, but like, we just want to make sure we do good work so that they can get, you know, back to their work of serving these students. That's one thing. The other thing that I want to say is like, you know, there's that saying of nobody ever gets fired for, you know, buying IBM or what have you. Formstack has a great market presence, but Formstack is not yet IBM, and Carabiner is certainly not IBM. And the fact of the matter is that together, by combining Salesforce, Formstack, Carabiner, and this use case, we have legitimately created an IBM-esque package that folks in this space buy with confidence because of the positive outcome of the initial engagement, right? These are the knock-on projects that Zach alluded to, have been done with, frankly, an awe-inspiring ease because of the, you know, the good work and sort of the reputation that has been garnered for this specific cocktail of solutions. And yes, it's a niche industry, and yes, it's sort of a unique sort of use case, but there's still, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars of revenue and, you know, life-changing sort of digital transformation projects that are going through because, you know, we've managed to put together this very unique cocktail of solutions, and the market now recognizes and knows that they're going to get to an outcome, which in today's day and age, resources being constrained the way they are, right? Like, getting to a point of quote unquote certainty with your prospects and being able to point back to this really successful joint partnered solution, I think is something that, you know, we don't take lightly. And one of the biggest outputs for us from a business perspective, right? Like a business.
They were just talking a lot about the tech stacks, that cocktail of solutions and everything. Something we did at my agency, I mean, we're a HubSpot solutions partner, and that was it. We were not building websites on any other platform. It was HubSpot. So you were coming to us if you wanted a HubSpot website, if you wanted your marketing services to be ran through HubSpot, right? The email marketing, your sales team, generally that could be anywhere, but we needed to be able to see a pipeline in HubSpot. And so if you were coming to us, that's where it was happening. Now, I have consulted with plenty of agencies who are doing other things, right? Maybe they focus on the solution. And so you could show up with whatever your own tech stack is and say, hey, I want your services. And that can be kind of indistinct from any specific tech stack. There's multiple ways to play that. I guess, what have you seen from, you know, running Partner Hub and having to work with so many different companies and having fostering these partnerships? What have you seen work out for agencies?
You're right. In a scenario where Carabiner Group is very much the type of agency that has a tech stack that they're experts in, they very much promote that tech stack. You can see it all over their website. I'm partners of this, this, and this. I've got certifications. I'm listed in directories. We're spending, certification day, getting the certifications that we need in each of those products. There's money invested on both sides. That's one type of agency. There's another type of agency that's very much, we have our own tech stack that we use to do our services behind the scenes. Your typical custom software development agency, your lead generation agencies fit in this bucket. You kind of are in the middle with the agency that you described there, your agency, Chris, where it's, we have our power partnership is what I call them, where you are a HubSpot partner and you're building one specific thing on top of HubSpot. And if I came to you and said, I want a website, but we prefer WordPress, you'd say, take a hike. We only do HubSpot. But you are doing a lot of things behind the scenes to make your agency work and to make that finish that implementation that you're not referring to customers, clients. So you're really just a power partner of HubSpot, doing a niche service on top of HubSpot. You guys do it really well, and you're getting a lot of business and referrals for that niche service on top of that one solution. That's great. Then on either side, there's those two others. So the Carabiner Group is very much, call it far right, and far left are your custom, totally custom. I'm not going to refer you my entire tech stack. It's going to be built in a certain way. It'll be great for you. Don't worry about it. Type of an agency. And then there's those in the middle. The important thing to understand, if you're a partner manager, let's talk to those people real quick. When you're dealing with an agency like Carabiner Group, and you want them to involve your technology in their cocktail, in their, you know, their tech stack that they're going to then push to all of this new business that comes through, there's a lot more at stake. It's not as simple as we're better than the other guy. It's very much, are you going to replace this partnership, or are you going to, maybe your new solution, you're not trying to replace anything, but are you going to play ball in the sense that to be in that cocktail, we have to first go through the dating phase, give me a free account, help me with an implementation, give me a use case that I can then get my team rallied around. We're going to prove that out. Then we're going to find that first new customer. And if you're dealing with a top tier agency, don't expect them to bring that first customer. You have to bring it to the table. You're going to do a very big, awesome project that stress tests the relationship. I was just telling Chris, I think the important thing with this relationship that they have is it's been stress tested. I think you have to stress test that relationship. But the end result of that is this enormous case study where both parties are solidified. You know how hard it would be for another form product to come in and bump FormStack out of Carabiner Group's cocktail. It would be impossible, right? Mm-hmm. Like if I came to you as Doodah or Webflow and you're doing HubSpot CMS builds all day long, you'd say, don't have time for this. There's no way.
Right.
So that's the, I think, a really ideal, that far right partnership where you're in their cocktail. I mentioned Six and Flow earlier in the podcast. They have a full lead generation and conversion sales funnel that works so well. They get customers that just come to them and say, tell me what technology to use, implement it for me. I want what you have. And they give them the same cocktail every time. And I think that's ideal, but you do have to understand the partner, their use case, where you're going to fit, and how you're going to make sure to prove out the fact that you will be a true partner for them, because there's time and resources spent along the way. That's what I got out of that.
To that point, Alex, there's a phrase that me and my team use of repeatable use case. And we're always looking, whether we're talking about a technology partnership or an SI with specialization in a vertical, like that's our measure, is like, can we get a repeatable use case that then becomes that, you know, second, third, fourth, 10th, 20th customer account that we're going after together. And yeah, this is, using Seamus's term, the cocktail of solutions is the repeatable use case that Carabiner Group is now taking out to the industry in a really nice way with the support of Salesforce and Formstack. I think, again, we've formalized it in the time since then, but I mean, at that point, our coaching out to our reps was, you know, be mindful of our partner network to bring in to help co-sell deals. And yeah, it was rep driven.
Anything else that you got out of that episode that you want everybody to kind of focus on or know more about, or even pose questions for them to think about internally?
No, I mean, this is a great example of a very large project that wouldn't have been successful unless there was a strong partnership relationship there. And so, yeah, great case study just to for us, right, to be able to look at and refer people to kind of see what's possible by having a great partnership.
I love it. Well, thank you, Chris, for taking the time to review this. If you're listening, Zach and Seamus, thank you for allowing us to tell this story. I think it was a very important story to tell. We've got more of these. If you like this type of breakdown, this podcast is very much going to be record with the partners, digest, dissect, give our input and 2 cents from our experiences outside of that recording and that specific relationship with Chris and I. Stay tuned. There's more to come. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.